Father, just thank you, Father, for this day. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to, Father, once again, Father, to be here, Father, to be your mouthpiece, Father. Let every word, Father, resonate, Father. Let it sit, Father, on each and everyone here today at the sound of my voice, Lord. Lord, may they walk out of here, Father, not the same as when they arrived, Father. Father, may your mercy, your love, and your anointing, Father, reach each everybody at their point of need, Father. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this is a day unlike no other. And that, Lord, that you will be glorified, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Okay. Mark 12, 28 to 30. Mark 12, 28 to 30. This is the, what they say is the foremost commandment. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength." Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So basically what we're saying here, you have to love the Lord with everything you have. If you're loving him, you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Amen? Amen. I want you to cast your minds back, okay? For everyone, it's going to be different periods. Cast your minds back to when you first got saved. Yeah? Remember, think back at that time when you first gave your life to Christ. And I just want you to think back and think, how did it feel when you first gave your life to Christ? For everyone, it's different. Yeah? But how did it feel when you first gave your life to Christ? How was you? Was you the same? Once you gave your life to him, was you the same the next day? Was you the same at that moment in time when you first made that decision and gave your life to him? I think for everyone it's different, but you know, for me, I remember, I just felt very energized, you know, very energized. Roused into activity. I was running around telling everybody, "Hey, guess what? This is what happened. You should be doing this," you know. There was a zeal, yeah. Everybody had you have a zeal. You want everyone to know what you have just found out, if you've just found out, or if you know that this is something that everybody must have. Do you remember those days? Everybody remember those days? Okay. Yeah, we had a fever for a cause. We were eager. Yeah. We desired for everybody to have and know what we know. Yeah. And we had an endeavor. Constantly endeavor to succeed. We want everybody to succeed and know what we know, to, you know, to have that hope and that expectation that we have. Amen? Amen. So, where I want to go with this today is, you know, do you still have it? Are you like when you first got saved? That's just something for everyone to just ponder on. You know, remember how you was, you know, that excitement, running around, telling everybody. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I think to myself, wow, from then to now, a lot has happened. Then I asked myself a question. I said, when last did I actually win somebody to the Lord? Yeah, we've all got different journeys, and we all, do, you know, we've all, you know, won somebody recently. It might be a little while ago. Or it might be a long time ago, you know. You know, you ask yourself, when last did I actually share with someone? You know, share with somebody about Christ. Or when did I actually win somebody? You know, because we ask this question every week. Any newcomers in the house? And praise God, we have a newcomer in the house. But then how many hands do we actually see going up on us Sunday by Sunday of new people that we bring into the house? Or sometimes we'll push it, we'll say, we've got a guest service coming. Bring some people. And then that's when sometimes there's a push to bring people. But this should be a continuous thing that goes on day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Not at only specific times. Amen?
Amen.
So, Was it like this? Isaiah 26, 8 to 9. So, you know, when you had that zeal and you was excited and you was running around telling everybody, I'm just going to read this scripture. Indeed, while following the ways of your judgment, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls. Next verse. At night, my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. Okay, so we'll leave that there. So those are the few words that I just want to pick up. In verse 8, it says, following in your ways. Okay, waited for you eagerly. Okay, in verse 9, your name is the desire. Do we still desire? Are we still eager? Are we still diligently longing for him? You know, like in the days when we first got saved. Everything was about God. Running around, telling everybody, reading scripture. You know, it was a very exciting time, you know, and you're going out there and you're just eagerly doing it. But as the years go by, what happens? And it's not the same for everybody, and it's not a condemnation of anybody, but do we become a little bit more complacent? Well, you know, I'm here. I've made it. I've done it. I'm sitting down. I've got a ministry. Blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly, the things that, you know, that drove us and got us here, suddenly, we stopped doing. Yeah? Yeah? Are you getting something here today? Yeah? There's things that we stopped doing. We're coming to the end of 2019, the year of new beginnings. Okay? I look at this as a time now to reflect. Okay? A time to reflect. A time for self-evaluation. You know, where am I? How has this year been? You know, how has it gone? What have I done? Okay? How many people have I run to Christ in 2019? Okay? So how's it been for you 2019? You know, as you know, my background's a lot in training, and I, you know, use an old training thing. What went well in 2019? Okay? What went well? You've heard this before. What didn't go well in 2019? And what would you change or do differently in 2019? What would you do? Yeah? So what went well? Yeah? What didn't go well? And is anything you would change or do differently in 2019? Now we're going into 2020, yeah? The year of new beginnings. I'm sure there were many, many new beginnings in 2019. But let's self-reflect. Let's look back and think to myself, how has 2019 really been for me, the individual? You know, in ministry. Has it been in areas of work? Has it been just for you as an individual? You know, have you grown in 2019? There from where you was in 2018. Have there been new beginnings? You know, new beginnings doesn't mean that's something that's been accomplished. It's something that, you know, you started, that's going to go on into 2020. Amen? Yeah, amen? Because 2020, what we're going to do with the new beginnings we've got? We're going to press. Yeah? Press. Okay? And, you know, I always say, you know, if you're pressing something, normally something comes out the other end. Yeah? What you get out the other end of your pressing, it depends on how much pressing you actually do. Amen. If you press and you really and truly press in 2019, God is going to produce that blessing at the other end. Amen? Amen. Amen. And it is all about how much pressing we do. You know, it's down to the individuals. You know, don't wait on somebody else to press for you, you know, because it's not going to happen. You know, it's about you, the individual, pressing for yourself. Amen. Amen. You know, and as I said, it's about a time of reflection. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, please. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was thinking, right, how was 2019 been? It's been a good year. You know, a lot of things have happened. A lot of things have made me kind of refocus on certain things that I'll be doing myself. But, you know, 2019 has actually been a very, very good year. But there's a lot more to do. Amen? It's not over yet. Yeah? We're only 15 days into December. Yeah? We've still got another, 16 days to go? So we can accomplish a lot in half an hour and an hour, let alone 16 days. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's have a look. Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another with love and good deeds. For not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the days draw near. Now, this is just personal for me. I was thinking to myself in 2019, what sort of things could I have improved or improve in 2019? In that verse there, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling, our own assembling together. I thought to myself, half night and all nights. That was me. I have not attended half night and all nights as much and as frequently as I normally do. And I know that, you know. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this has to change, you know. This has to change. Do not forsake our own assembling together. It is very important, the assembling together. You know, we come together on a Sunday. We have our cells in the week. If you're a member of a cell group, if you're not a member of a cell group, come and see me and we'll make sure we get you in a cell. Amen? But then there's all nights and half nights also. You know, this is all assembling together. All night and half night is where the work is really done. This is where we really press, we really push. And I stood there and I thought myself, wow, this is okay, that's okay, this is okay, ministry is fine. Half night and all night. And I was like, ouch. Yeah, and I'm being honest, you know, half night and all night. Yep, in 2020, must improve. You know, we must look and see what we're doing and what we can and must improve on. Amen? Because at the end of the day, it's for our own sakes, not for anybody else's. It's for our own sakes, isn't it, you know? So I would encourage you, self-evaluate. Self-evaluate. Take that little time, sit aside, and just have a pen and a blank piece of paper. Just start scribbling what comes to mind. What have I done? What would I like to do? What can I do better than what I've done currently so far? Amen? Amen. So self-evaluation, very, very important. So, as I said earlier, where are you now with God? Are you hot or are you cold? Revelations 3, verse 14 to 19. Okay, this is speaking to the church of Laodicea. Write the amen to the faithful and true. Sorry, let me say that again. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write the amen, the faithful and true witness. The beginning of creation of God says this. This is God speaking. Next verse, please. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold not hot. Or hot, sorry. I wish that you were cold, not hot. Okay. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, what will he do? He will spit you out of his mouth. Ooh. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need for nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The next verse. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. The next verse. Yes, to those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. God's very precise in his description. He's very precise. Neither hot nor cold. Basically, lukewarm means showing little enthusiasm. Yeah? Showing little enthusiasm. Hot nor cold. He says, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. He wants us on fire. He doesn't want us lukewarm. He doesn't want us cold. He wants us hot. Hot. You know? He wants us to be on fire for him. We serve a jealous God. You know that, right? He wants us on fire for him. He wants us to be going out there and doing the things that he has ordained us to do. You know, again, it's going back to, you know, we need to go out there and win the lost. There's a hurting world out there that require what we have. But unless we take that step and get out there and start doing it, they're not going to know. They're not going to know. You know, we say this a lot about, you know, if we were to leave, would the community know that we was actually here? And, you know, and that's so, so true. But they do know we're here. We do a lot, you know. In those areas, we're very hot. You know, we go out there, we do all the different ministries that we do. But I'm talking about now individually for the individuals. Are you hot or are you cold? Are you lukewarm? God doesn't want us lukewarm, does he? Amen? He wants us hot. Just recently, I was out in Potters. I think a lot of you who know me on Facebook, you would know. We was out in Potters City, yeah, at Prophet Nana's place. And I remember I was talking to Pastor Paul. We were just talking. And I said to him, I said, wow, just being here, it's been really good and a release for me in the sense of I'm actually sitting down while the ministry is going on. I'm taking notes. I'm praising God, you know. And I said to him, when I'm here at Harvest, that doesn't happen. But this used to be me. When I first gave my life to Christ, I've got loads of books at home. Scribble, 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 scribble. Writing, you know. And then all of a sudden now, things have kind of changed. And I was saying to him, right, you know, I'm just here, there, just doing stuff, running around. Basically, busyness is a deception. It's a deception. It really is. It's a deception. We think we're being busy and we're doing loads of things, you know. And I termed it, I become very Martha-ish. Very Martha-ish. You know, if you see me on a Sunday, I'm up and down, I'm whizzing around all over the place, making sure that this is okay, making sure that's okay. You know what, at the end of the day, it's going to be okay, okay? But for me, that's the type of person I am. I'm like, yep, make sure this is happening, make sure that's happening. But all the time, I'm being led away from praise, I'm being led away from worship, I'm being led away from the word, writing down, the word and writing the things down that I can go back to. Thank God for social media, that we can go back, but I like to write. You know, and I found when I was at Potter's, I just felt a lovely peace. I was just there and I just thought to myself, this is me. This was me when I first got saved. And I thought to myself, look at me now. You know, there's nothing wrong with me now in that sense, but the deception. You know, when we think that, you know, we must do. When really and truly, as God said to Martha, Mary has chosen the right thing. She's sitting and she is listening. You know, and I thought to myself, wow. Again, self-evaluation. It's just sitting there thinking, how are things and how, what do I need to change? And it really was emphasized when we came back. I think the first Sunday we came back, at one point I got up and I walked up to the back. And Godfrey was, you know, in his tower up there, he can see all things, overseeing the whole place. He said to me, you're very busy. And I was like, ouch. I've just left Potter's. But I've got back into the environment. And what's happened? Straight back into running up and down. You know, I've just finished saying, oh, you know, I need to do this and do that. Get straight back into your circumstances. Don't let the circumstances dictate you. Dictate the circumstances. Amen? And that's what we have to do. And Godfrey said that to me, and I was like, wow. You know, I was trying to deal with something that had happened, but again, it was taking me away. The devil was very, very subtle. Very subtle, and we know that. You know, and I thought to myself, ooh, okay, change. You know, we're coming to the end of 2019. Change has to happen. You have to self-reflect. Okay? So, Revelations 2, 1 to 6. Return to your first love. When I got saved, that was my first love. That was everything. Anything else didn't matter. You know, individual, person, anything, nothing mattered. That was everything, and that was everything that I was focused on. And suddenly, you get into ministry, you start doing this, you know, the ushers, the welcome team, the security, blah, 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 blah. And the first love disappears because you're too busy running around trying to solve things. So let's have a read of this scripture here. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance and that you cannot tolerate evil men and put to the test those who call themselves apostles that and they are not and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Next. But I have this against you. Despite of all you're doing, what is it? You have left your first love. You have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. When you first got saved, how was you? How are you now? and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and I remove your lampstand out of the place unless you repent. Repent. Can you just go back, please? The next verse, please. Yes. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. What is your first love? Is it God? Is it work? Is it chasing money? What is it? Before you got the money, you had your first love. Now you've got the money, you've got the job, you've got the status, you've got the car, you've got the house. Where in the list of priorities is your first love now? If you didn't get to find the first love at first, you wouldn't have it. Now you found it, you found the first love, you've got it, and then it starts going down the pecking order. You know, as God says, you know, we need to repent. If that is the case, and I'm not saying that's the case for everybody, but we need to self-evaluate. Where is the first love in our list of priorities? Amen? Amen. Ephesians 2, 1 to 8. Okay. Just quickly. In fact, Manuel, sorry, go to 1 John 4 for me, please, 4, 15 to 19. 1 John 4, 15 to 19. 1 John 4. Ephesians 2, 1 to 8, you can read that one in your own time. Okay. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. The first love. Where are we when it comes to our first love? Amen? Amen. Manny, can you, I just want you to just sit back just for a minute or two, just relax. Can you just play me that, please? Just want you to just listen to this. Close your eyes if it helps. Just listen.
Ain't it funny? Ain't it funny? How a chapter can make a story change. Cold and lonely.
You never knew
hurt could feel this way.
But listen,
understand there's a plan if you're patient. Hear the Savior say,
come back.
Come back. Ooh. To your first love.
First love.
First love. Come back to your
Come back to your first love. Come back to your first love. I hope that song ministered to somebody. You know, Kirk Franklin, First Love. If you haven't got it, if you haven't downloaded it, get it. Yeah, and listen to it. Naomi, can I get you on the keys, please? Come back to your first love. It's so, so, so important we get the priorities right. It's so important that we put him first. Amen? Amen. Can you stand to your feet, please? You know, this God we serve, even if he doesn't do another thing, he's done enough already. Even if he doesn't do another thing, he has done enough already. Amen? Remember that. You know, he's done so much for us. Father, just thank you, Lord, that today that we will return, Lord, to our first love. That, Lord, that we will put him first, Lord, in everything that we do. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, that we will return back to you, Lord. If we have gone astray, we will return back to you. We'll put you first, Lord. We will prioritize you, Lord, as the head of everything that we do. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, that you, Lord, are everything to us, Lord, and we are everything to you, Father, because you first loved us. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are going to do a wonderful thing in the midst of your people today, Lord. That everyone, Father, will be leaving here, Lord, not the same as when they came, Lord. That they will be leaving here, Lord, with a new energy. They'll be leaving here energized, Lord, Father, with a new spring in their step, Lord. They will be going out there, Lord, Father, and winning the loss for you, Father. I just want to take this time. Just take this time. If you feel that, you know, you have strayed away, that you're not where you once were, you're not as, you know, energized, and you haven't got the zeal that you had when you first got saved. Remember that time. I just want to take this time now. Before all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if you just raise up your hand, if you feel that, you know, you're not quite where you were, and you'd like to just, you know, repent and to say, Lord, Father, I'm coming back to you. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, I repent, Lord. I repent, Lord. Lord, I just come back to you, Lord. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the things you're going to do for me towards the end of 2019. And Father, the great things that are going to happen in 2020, Father, as we press into you, Lord. Father, I just thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.